All right, guys, it's a light news week, so we're going to talk about the subject matter that's on everybody's mind, right? Taylor Swift's new boyfriend. Let's talk about it. All right, so welcome to the show, guys. Happy Monday. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi. We have Taylor in Nashville.
I could not wait to come talk about Taylor Swift today.
Right. It's a very exciting show. We also have Scott in the producer's bay.
What's up, everyone?
How familiar are you guys with Taylor Swift? Are you guys Swifties? Is that what you guys would call yourselves?
I'm not familiar with her music. I did live in Hendersonville, Tennessee, where she went to high school at the same time she was there. So I have like that much of a connection. But beyond that, haven't really followed her career.
Oh, okay, you're not bopping out to Taylor Swift's music.
No, I say last time I listened to her was when I was 22.
Okay. That was probably about it. I don't know about you. okay, and let me know in the comments down below, guys. Are you guys fans of Taylor Swift? Would you call yourself Swifties? She has kind of like a mega following across the world. It's kind of insane. She's currently on tour, and the amount of young women in particular that are showing up for these shows. I mean, if she ever wanted to create an army and induce a civil war, she would be the star to do it. Either her or Beyonce. It's just insane how quickly she is packing out stadiums. Taylor's in Nashville. She just did her tour stop in Nashville. And you said the population went up like 15% or something because of her being there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Nashville is like around 1 million people. And you got 3 shows at a stadium of about 70,000 at the football stadium downtown. And over the course of the weekend, so 70,000 times 3 is what, 210,000 people. So, you know, you guys do the math, but there was definitely a surge last weekend with all the Swifties here.
Yeah, it's just insane the amount of people that show out. I saw this video of these New Yorkers sitting in the subway as a Taylor Swift show was getting out. So all these fans are congregating to get on one of the subway cars, and it just looks like a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, it looked like Tokyo rush hour, like rush hour in Tokyo. It was wild.
It's just unbelievable. But she's not in the news because of her tour, although that is stuff that people are talking about. She's in the news because she is now said to be dating the lead singer of the 1975, Matty Healy. Full disclosure, the 1975 is my favorite band. Even though their music can be quite woke, they're certainly not on this end of the political spectrum. So a lot of fans are very upset about the fact that she is speculated to be dating Matty Healy. He's been at many of her tour stops. I think 6 shows so far along the way, just supporting his girlfriend. I cannot believe we're talking about this, but a lot of Swifties are getting very, very mad and calling this a problematic pairing because Matty Healy is apparently been accused of being racist, sexist, all of the isms, you know, all of the isms and ists he's been accused of. We're going to watch a video here of a girl on TikTok talking about why this is a problematic pairing.
To say that I'm disappointed would be the truth. To say that I'm shocked would be a lie. And for any white woman that has ever questioned any black or person of color's distrust in you, this is why. Because you are nobody's ally. This is a major L for Swifties. Major L. And I don't give a f- if it's PR. It's even worse if it's PR because you could have picked somebody else. I actually saved this screenshot a while ago when one of my mutuals informed me of exactly how problematic he was.
Okay, pause. Let's read it. We've actually done a video on this very subject. This is what he was canceled for most recently because there's quite a history here. Matty Healy was on a podcast. The Adam Friedland Show, I believe, was the name of the podcast. And they were talking about this very popular rapper by the name of Ice Spice, who I'm sure many of you are familiar with. This article says the host and Healy then began speculating on Ice Spice's ethnicity with jokes about her sounding like an Inuit Spice Girl or a chubby Chinese lady. And one of them saying, yeah, I rap and I make music. Do they talk like that? Do Inuits talk like that? The audio of the podcast then found Healy and the hosts imitating Chinese and Hawaiian accents as they laughed out loud and joked about what Healy should have said when he slipped into Ice Spice's DMs. Okay, so let's talk about it really quickly. The Adam Friedland Show happens to be a comedy podcast. Only in recent years have you not been able to, mock people's accents or just try to do some sort of version of your own accent, of somebody else's, you know, culture or whatever. Only in recent years has that been something that's been offensive. I just cannot believe that this is something that is, that could get you canceled. I mean, if you look back at even some comedians now, although it's gotten a lot more politically correct in comedy, but if you look back at comedians of the early 2000s, the 90s, I mean, you can go as far back as you'd like to go. Making fun of accents or just simply doing imitations of accents has never been something worthy of getting you offended. But now that we live in an identity politics centered, modernity, you are now only allowed to imitate the person who you actually are. You are only allowed to act in the role of who you actually are. There's nothing that you can do that is outside the scope of political correctness, or you are canceled. So that always
didn't
works.
The Simpsons just cancel that Apu character a few years ago? He was one of the last vestiges of the old era of comedy in which you could still, you know, impersonate other cultures without being canceled. But
right.
Yeah, it's been a quick disappearance of that from the comedy landscape. It's suddenly become unacceptable.
Yeah.
I think he actually canceled himself. He's the one who, you know, fell on his own sword and said, I was doing wrong. But it's funny. You can go ahead and imitate the Southern accent all you want, the Midwestern accent, you know, right. Oh, don't you know, huh?
Valley up girls.
Yeah. Anyone, all day. But anybody outside of the borders, good luck.
Just God forbid.
Scottish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just interesting because, like, there's really no reason to talk about somebody else's relationship, but it's been so interesting to see just people in massive groups come out and criticize a person for simply dating another person. And it brings in an interesting idea about these, like, parasocial relationships that we form. The reason that people are so upset is because they truly view Taylor Swift as a personal friend, of a pillar within their life. I can't tell you how many comments that I saw on these videos where it was saying, you know, like, Taylor Swift is mom, but I'm not going to call him dad. And of course, it's a joke, right? They don't actually mean that this is my mom and this is my dad. But it sort of insinuates a very deeply felt relationship between you and somebody who you typically watch through a screen or listen to their music. And there's no longer this separation, really, between artist and art, where now everything that you do in your life is part of somebody else's existence, and they get to take it in and judge it, and you no longer have a life separate from the art that you make.
It's weird. There's no compartmentalization anymore with anyone's lives. It's like you are forward facing at all times. There's no life behind closed doors or anything. It's like, especially with the celebrities and whatnot, they're also putting their personal life out there to the public, so people actually get this weird feeling of being their actual friend or acquaintance and whatnot. It's just such a strange phenomenon.
Right, it is. And it just gets deeper and deeper the more that things happen. And I wonder, just as our time on the internet increases, and it is increasing, and we continue to form these parasocial bands, what happens? It's just really weird how sensitive people are. I digress, let's watch the rest of this TikTok.
This is even the worst of it. This is just the most recent example. This was like a month ago of some stuff that he said in a podcast. And I'm as I'm talking, you can read it. I'm not going to read it. But this is Taylor Swift's love interest. Like this is not bad boy core. Okay. This is like racist core. From a PR standpoint, what is the angle here? Are you trying to recapture the 50% of fans that Scott thought that they lost when she spoke up about political stuff in 2020? Is that what's happening here? I just could not be more confused by this and just like concerned about it. And to all the Swifties whose main concern is that he's greasy and sweaty and gross and an alcoholic, like, can you please dig your head out of your anus, please?
Honestly, alcoholism would be a much greater concern for me in looking for a partner than jokes said on a podcast. And it's so interesting that the accusation of racism is being thrown out in this case. I just want to show you this man's ex-girlfriend. This is FKA Twigs, who happens to be biracial, half black female, so clearly racist that you would, you know, date and fall in love with a black woman. So it's just a clear depiction of racism, and he should be canceled for that. It's just so weird, guys. It's so very weird that people are this invested in another's relationship. And of course, there's offensive things that have been said and jokes here and there, and a woke mob gets mad over this and a woke mob gets mad over that. But by and large, this man and Taylor Swift are leftists. I just don't want that to be lost on people. When she references in that TikTok comments made during the 2020, you know, political elections, Taylor Swift came to bat for, you know, these left-leaning politicians and tried to rally her fans to support leftist ideology and legislation. So that's not gone. Matty Healy, in one of his albums, the first intro song of the album starts with Greta Thunberg making a great plea for the environment and the catastrophic nature of climate change. So,
and this is your favorite band, Amelo, oh dear.
Right, right. And this is to say that I can, to some degree, separate the art from the artist. I mean, I'm not going to go listen to the Greta Thunberg song. You know, it's not my go-to on the different songs on their album. But I can go, you know what? I can appreciate the art outside of this. And, you know, I don't have to believe in your leftist, you know, messaging that you have in this. He has other songs about, you know, police brutality and all of this different stuff. But it's not enough, right? Because if you have one joke that's been said or one crass comment, you're done. You're a racist. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, conservatives and Christians used to be the puritanical force in our culture, and justifiably so. There's a lot of criticism out there for, you know, the moral majority types back in the 80s when they were trying to impose Christian morality on everybody in this kind of militant way. And I think there's a fair criticism there. But the irony is nowadays the left has become the Puritans in our culture, and they don't see that they're doing the same things that they used to criticize. So you have someone like Matty Healy who makes in what is now considered to be apparently an offensive joke on a comedy podcast, and now he becomes untouchable, even though he's a leftist who endorses Greta Thunberg and his music and everything, and he's dating Taylor Swift, who's really outspoken about the BLM stuff. But now Taylor Swift is guilty by association just for that. She's unclean because he's unclean. It's become this weird, like, religious Puritanism on the left that is so ironic that now they've become the ones who are hypersensitive about these things and policing everybody's behavior.
Right. And you hope it maybe wakes them up to just the hive mind mentality of some of the things that they are supporting, because it just gives way to more of this sort of behavior. And the interesting thing is people taking situations, I believe, out of context. There's this one video, and I don't know if I have it somewhere on here, of Matty Healy being accused now of anti-Semitism and Nazi signaling, because he has this song called Love It If We Made It that is essentially about how modernity is failing people, and it's about leftist politics. It's, again, a song where he references police brutality, and he has a line in that song, I think, that says, "Thank you, Kanye, very cool." And it's meant to be this, like, satirical thanks to Kanye about the fact that he's now, like, an anti-Semite, but he created all of this art and all of this stuff. And during a concert where he references or he says this line in lyric, he does, you know, the salute. I'm not going to do it because somebody's going to clip it and then it's going to become a whole thing, right? And now everybody's like, Matty Healy's a Nazi, how dare you do this salute? And it doesn't matter what context he was using it in, it doesn't matter what intent he was using it in, even though it's a clear criticism of it and of the person who is being anti-Semitic. They don't care for context, they don't care for how something is utilized, they only care that it was done. And it just shows you just how crazy it is becoming that through a whole career of dedicating yourself to a certain political ideology or to a certain political end, thinking that you're doing the right thing, you can do one thing that slips you up and you get in trouble for it. Now, just to clear it, here is a video of Matty Healy himself talking about Kanye and anti-Semitism.
What bums me out with Kanye is that, like, we all, like, he's obviously somebody who is dealing with grief and has mental health issues.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse to, like, do anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look how clearly you can clear things up when you have context for the situations that you're commenting on. But hive mind and woke mob people do not like context. They like anger, they feed off injustice, they feed off of being able to protest someone or something, and they will do it to anybody at any given moment. So just be careful what you subscribe yourselves to and, like, what truck you hit your trailer to, because it's just crazy how quickly they will switch up on you. And I've talked about this recently. It's that you believe everything on their laundry list of, you know, doctrinal beliefs, or you're done for. If there's one thing that you fall out of line with, or God forbid, you love comedy and you think that comedy is the final frontier of actual free speech and that all is fair when you're trying to get a laugh from somebody, God forbid you believe that, because you're done. Even if you support climate change and the police brutality initiatives and Black Lives Matter and all this stuff.
Yeah, a good example of this recently, I think, was Judy Blume, the poet or author that had come out and kind of said something somewhat endorsing one of J.K. Rowling's perspectives. And the Moke mob got a hold of that. And as soon as they did, she kind of came out and fully retracted her statements. I think I saw her doing some kind of interview with Dylan Mulvaney or something the other day and just totally apologizing, groveling, going back and saying, no, I totally disavow, you know, J.K. Rowling. I don't want nothing to do with that. I want to be on the right side, guys. I want to be one of the good guys. And as you were talking, I just remembered too, I had to look it up, but Patton Oswalt last year had to come out and apologize for taking a photo with Dave Chappelle after Dave Chappelle made that joke about, you know, trans stuff in his comedy special. And Patton Oswalt said, I'm truly sorry that I didn't consider the hurt that this would cause or the depth of that hurt. I 100% disagree with Dave Chappelle about transgender rights, and I support them and all this stuff. So it's amazing. You, like you said, Amla, you step one toe out of line and the mob comes after you. And at that point, you have the decision whether you're going to be unapologetic and stand for the truth or just stand by your own convictions, or if you're going to try to retreat back and beg for forgiveness and please accept me and let me be on the right side of history, as they say again.
Right. And so often they retreat, and that's just the worst thing. I just wait for it. Like, okay, when's the apology post on Instagram going to come, or the Twitter thread where you cower and you apologize and kiss the feet of the people who are angry about these things? And I just find it hard to believe that the people who hop on the internet and are so just viciously angry about this aren't talking like this when they're behind closed doors. I just do not believe it. I do not believe that the people who are politically correct are behind closed doors keeping that same politically correct mindset in everything that they say and feel. And it would be just, you'd be naive to think that people are actually talking like this when they are actually in the comfort of not being canceled by other people, because they're talking just the same as everybody else. I know that people who are politically correct are running around telling just as offensive jokes when there's nobody around to hear it. And it's interesting what you are comfortable with by yourself rather than in the company of a crowd where you don't know what reaction you're going to get. And, you know, it will be this person, it'll be Maddie, then it'll be Judy Blume, then it'll be, you know, Dave Chappelle or whoever, until it's you. Until we just keep increasing the amount of political correctness you need to have in order to have a normal conversation with people, and then you're done. Then you're done.
We've talked about this before too, Amla, but, you know, the function of humor in society in general, the function of comedy, a lot of it is to let the take the heat out of the room and kind of reduce the level of tension in society and in relationships and stuff like that. You know, they call it comic relief for a reason. And when you remove the permission for there to be any kind of joking about differences between people or, you know, accents or anything like that, where you just become so hypersensitive and rigid, we lose something. We lose just, it's sort of like a lubricant, if you will, for society to just be able to interact with each other in a non-tense and rigid sort of way. And I think that is something that's very detrimental as a whole to us, and it trickles down into our interpersonal relationships. I'm sure you guys can think of friends or family members or professors or people that you come into contact with that sort of have this mentality that you just have to walk on eggshells around them all the time because you don't know if you're going to say something that's going to offend them or that they're going to call you out on or something. And it's, you know, it's just I'm watching The Office right now with my wife. We're rewatching it. And so many of the jokes that are in that, that you used to quote incessantly at work or at school back, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, are just completely, you couldn't say them today. And it's just, it's whatever direction this is moving, it's not a positive direction. I think most people would agree with that. I think I put a poll here in the chat for you guys. Do you find doing accents in comedy offensive? And like 96% of you say no. So at least our audience is still unapologetic about it. But I think it just goes to show you the common sense would dictate that this is not something that we need to be so uptight about in society. And we'd be better off if we could all just take a chill pill.
Yeah, I have to read this super chat that came in from Nick Tyler. It says, to be fair, Inuit is the politically correct word to use in place of Eskimo. So what on earth is this blabbering, whining TikToker talking about? Also, Scott and Taylor, do you want your Derby winnings? Ooh. It's a question to you.
Do I want my winnings? Of course.
I don't know. I like these super chats. You can keep with those.
Maybe that's how. Yeah, you can invest your winnings in the show. That'd be great. What was I talking about? I lost my train of thought. There's always going to be like this progression of what becomes offensive. Like recently we covered that story of Jennifer Aniston saying that there's a bunch of left-wing people now who won't watch Friends because they think it's too offensive to be said. I just can't imagine if we continue on this trajectory, what's going to be offensive in 10 years. And I'll fully admit Maddie Healy says things that are very crass and straightforward and certainly not what you would expect from an artist in 2023 because they've all just sort of cowered to political correctness and are most likely not saying what they really think. The interesting thing is I think most of like Hollywood and the music industry is disgustingly corrupt and not in anything that has to do with political correctness. I'm talking about like outright just disgusting behavior that has nothing to do with their music or their personal political beliefs. But we get so mad over like somebody doing an accent and we're not mad about the actual horrible things that are happening behind the walls of like Hollywood and the music industry, which is way more distasteful than speculating whether or not Ice Spice is an Inuit. So that's how I feel about that. I don't know if I have any more commentary on the Taylor Swift thing. You guys let me know how you feel about it. I saw that there was some Swifties in the comments down below. Are you guys upset about this boyfriend pairing?
Well, I couldn't tell if they were cheering on Taylor, our Taylor, or Taylor, you know, the singer.
We love Taylor. Yeah.
The chats that have my name in them always stick out to me because I'm like, oh, somebody talking crap or whatever. And now it's everyone's talking about Taylor Swift and it's kind of like, jarring a little bit, but right. Yeah, go on with the Swiftie talk, I guess.
I mean, if anything, it proves like, you know, Taylor Swift is a forwardly facing, very politically correct woman for the most part, and she's dating quite differently than that. So it speaks to maybe the people who are showing you this woke persona in their music and in their PR are maybe not as woke as you thought they were. And if that means you don't want to be fans of them anymore, that's one thing. But maybe it's just proving a larger point that political correctness is not exactly something that is sustainable within the human psyche, because humans are not naturally like that. We naturally have very curious minds. We like comedy. We like pushing the boundaries of what one can think about and what one can believe. And I don't think Taylor Swift is any exception to that. And maybe she's attracted to a man who pushes the boundaries of what you can say.
So maybe the TikToker was right after all, and now all minorities cannot trust Taylor because she is somebody who is attracted to somebody who said something insensitive about minorities, heaven forbid.
Right. And it's just like, oh my gosh. And trust me, babes, Taylor's the only one who can vote in America, but if they could vote, they'd be voting left. You don't have to worry. It's not like you're losing members of your team. They are still extremely woke. I mean, wasn't Taylor Swift super upset about like the drag queen stuff and like LGBTQ rights and everything? And I'm sure Maddie's in that same vein because he's espoused that several times throughout his career. So baby, don't worry. The music industry in Hollywood remains politically left and will be for the foreseeable future because it's the only view that is acceptable. Now, here's Charlize Theron, speaking of Hollywood, or Charlize Theron, I don't know how you say her last name. She was recently talking about drag, which has been, you know, an ever-present topic of conversation amongst, again, the music industry and in Hollywood, because we had Tennessee go through this whole drag ban thing, and people were saying drag queens are no longer allowed to exist in the state of Tennessee. We know that's not true. If you go and read the bill, it explicitly says that, in fact, drag queens are able to exist. They just can't do sexual acts in front of children. The worst thing you could possibly tell somebody to do is to not do a sexual act in front of a child. The horror, the bigotry, the discrimination. But As Hollywood does, all of the actors and their ilk hopped on campaigns to support drag queens. We saw Kevin Bacon do it, Kelsey Ballerini, Maren Morris, now Charlize Theron, and there's many, many more who have done the same. Charlize Theron says she will F anybody up who comes after drag queens. Let's listen to the clip.
And we've got you, and I will anybody up who is like trying to with anything with you guys. It's really, in all seriousness, there's so many things that are hurting and really killing our kids, and we all know what I'm talking about right now, and it ain't no drag queen.
Oh my gosh. Okay, before we get into commentary on this, I gotta read this super chat that came in from CJen. Says, happy Monday, y'all. Have a great week. Love your content. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Thank you. Now, I love these just like wild, baseless claims that celebrities throw out. I will F anybody up. Really? Really, Charlize Theron? Really? Are you? I would love to see her, you know, back up that statement in any way, shape, or form. Or is she simply throwing out these virtue signaling phrases that will make people happy and, you know, alert them to the fact that she is on their side? And then she goes to bed at night with her, what, her trans kid? Doesn't she have a trans kid who's like, I think 11 years old at this point?
Yeah, it's either that or non-binary. One of the two.
Trans or non-binary. It's one of the pronoun changers who was clearly not indoctrinated by an adult and understood at the age of 8 years old that they were trans. It clearly has nothing to do with Charlize and her personal ideology and dogma that she subscribes herself to. The child came to that conclusion on their own. So she will F anybody up. Megyn Kelly, which funnily, Charlize Theron played Megyn Kelly in that Bombshell movie and was tasked of being the actress to portray her. So now Megyn Kelly, I guess, took this statement somewhat personally, maybe due to the portrayal that Charlize Theron had of her in that movie, and said this.
So why doesn't Charlize Theron come and fuck me up? Because I'm 100% against her on this. Yes, there's fun drag queen shows. I've been to them. When I lived in Chicago, we went to one that was super fun. It was all adults. But there are drag queen shows out there right now that are deeply disturbing, and they're happening in front of young children. So know what you're supporting. Understand what we're actually seeing out there, which can include absolutely the grooming of young children. Even she should be against that, trans kid or not. So what?
Except she's not, because how do you get a child who's 8 years old and identifies as transgender through the very act of grooming and indoctrinating your child? Sorry. So that's how she got there. I, by the way, I just gotta say, I love Megyn Kelly. She is such a straight shooter, and she does not play around on her show. She just goes straight for it, and she does not care. But of course, Charlize Theron doesn't care about drag queens being around children, because this is how Charlize Theron dresses her son. This is her son. And it's weird because there seems to be kind of this trend of Hollywood actresses dressing up their sons as girls, and sometimes their girls as boys. Who have we have now? We have Charlize Theron did it, Megan Fox.
Dwayne Wade's wife.
Dwayne Wade, yeah, Gabrielle Union. We have Angelina Jolie. There's quite a list, and there's more. There's plenty more examples of
Gwyneth
celebrities
Paltrow,
doing
I feel
this.
Like.
I think Gwyneth Paltrow also, allegedly, I don't know if that's true, but I think I have heard her name. But of course, here's Charlize Theron, and she has a kid, Jackson Theron, who is an 8-year-old transgender child 3 years ago, so I imagine is around 11, 12 now. And Charlize is just raising a trans child. So why would she be against drag queens, you know, shaking their ass in front of children? Why would she care about the sexual, lewd, and lascivious acts of men dressed up as women with very little clothing on and dancing in front of children? There's no reason that one would care about that when they subscribe themselves to the ideology. And we make it clear every time we talk about this, that is what the bill is talking about. It's not drag queens dressing up like Mrs. Doubtfire and reading books to children. That is not what the bill is saying that they are banning. They are banning drag queens doing sex acts in front of children and sexually promiscuous dances and things like that. That is all that it says. But of course, the woke celebrities have to come out in full force and parade around with drag queen shirts and have drag queens at their concerts like Lizzo did, because they have to just toe the line of their ideology.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a family member the other day about this, the drag thing and Florida law and all this. And they said that they felt like they're sympathetic to the conservative view and everything, but said that it felt overblown to them on the conservative side. Mm-hmm. And stories like this, I can see maybe if you're watching the mainstream media, why you'd have that perception. But when you look at, like you said, we had Lizzo, we had Kelsey Ballerini, Baron Morris, now Charlize Theron. This is pretty much ubiquitous within Hollywood of people pushing this narrative that, you know, Florida hates gays and trans people and is trying to ban them from existing. And I really liked what Megyn Kelly said, that you should know what you're supporting. And she was very specific in what she said she was against. And she's like, look, I've been to drag shows in Chicago. I can see how it's considered fun entertainment for adults. But there is an effort to get this in front of children, and the Florida law only outlaws doing it in front of children. And that is what we're trying to prevent. And we should all be able to agree that sexualized performances don't have a place in front of children. That should not be something that we want to encourage or to make more likely to happen with our laws or with how we're governing society. We should discourage that. And these celebrities are doing the opposite. And so as much as I want to say, yeah, it seems like there's a big uproar on the conservative side, there's a lot of hand-wringing. I mean, we saw, you know, to be fair, like Matt Walsh on Joe Rogan maybe went over his skis a little bit on describing the scope of the puberty blocker problem. And, you know, so I can see where that perception would be built up. But at the same time, this narrative is just being pushed so hard from so many directions, from the elites in our culture, that and it's really, you know, we're doing on the conservative side is just saying this one thing. Just, hey, guys, can we just draw a line here? Right. Do whatever you want as adults in your own entertainment venues, but let's not put this in front of children. But apparently that's too much.
Yeah, and if anything, it's like we get accused of blowing this out of proportion. The bill could have just been written. They set it out there. Don't do this in front of kids. It's done. The people who blew it out of proportion are the ones who misinterpreted the bill, misconstrued the bill, started doing all of this like fanfare and performative activism for drag queens. And your misinterpretation or your purposeful misinterpretation of what was written is what brought this out of control and made this a thing much bigger than it needed to be. You could have just written it, signed it, passed it, and then been like, okay, we're not doing this in front of kids anymore, and we'll put that to rest. But no. We had to fight for drag queen representation in front of children. I got to read this super chat from May 987 that says, hello from Norway. Been following your podcast for a few months. It was time to sub. Thank you. Enjoying your insights to what is happening on the liberal and conservative side on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Another one from Norway. Wow. We have a lot of people watching from Norway.
As a resident Norwegian American, or I mean, I don't know, do we believe in hyphens in this podcast? But of Norwegian descent, yeah, I appreciate the love.
Now we're gonna move on to another topic here. Taylor found this video and sent it to me over the weekend, and it's a major question here, guys. Would you say the N-word to end world hunger? I want you all to ask yourselves this. Maybe we'll put a poll in the chat. And I hope the answer is unanimous in one direction. I won't say what that direction is, but would you say the N-word to end world hunger? Here's a woke woman's response to that question.
Would you say the N-word to end world hunger?
Would I say? No. I don't know. To end it? Oh, gosh. I would have to. Well, no, no. If I had a poll and everybody came together and gave me permission.
Okay, well, everybody's starved by that point. But thank you.
I think hungry people would definitely give you permission.
No, no, it can't be the hungry people. It's got to be the people who will be affected by the word.
The hungry people are pretty affected by it because a lot of hungry people are from Africa and they tend to be black.
Yeah, you know, it's social media, so I can't give you a solid answer.
So you wouldn't say it to end world hunger?
With permission, I would. It's contingent.
Who do you need permission from?
The people who would be affected.
Would you say the N-word?
Oh my gosh, it's just unbelievable. You know, nothing gets done in a woke society because this is what it involves. I don't know if you guys have seen, there's this video of like a conference going on where people are getting up and speaking, and it's apparently a bunch of woke students, and like one guy gets up and speaks, and like misgender somebody, and somebody goes like, you misgendered me, and then another guy gets up and he's like, I just like to say to all the people chattering in the audience, I have sensory issues, so I need you all to be quiet while each person is speaking. And then it's like, well, don't call them guys because they might not be guys, they're girls and boys and they thems and non-binaries and all this stuff. And it's like, this is how it would go in the society structured to benefit wokeism and political correctness. You cannot, of course you say the n-word if you're going to end world hunger. Of course you say the N-word.
What's hilarious too is she's like, oh, the people who would be affected by it. It's like, well, the hungry people would be affected by it immediately. They either get food or they don't.
You need permission from them to not say it more than you need permission from the other people who would be offended to say it. Oh my gosh.
That's so funny to me. Oh my gosh. And obviously, you know, this is never going to be a thing that has to happen, but it's just so interesting to have this hypothetical placed in front of somebody who subscribes themselves to this belief because it truly is a conundrum for them. Do I say the N-word to end world hunger?
Yeah, and to be fair, I don't even know if this girl is particularly like super woke ideologue. I think she's just used to, you know,
you have to say
towing
the right
line and saying the right thing. And yeah, so you hear, would you say the N-word? The immediate instinct is no. And right. I think she caught herself in her first instinct of like, well, wait a second, the rest of that question is to end world hunger, and just the scale or the weight that we put on certain things right now is just so out of whack and so skewed. I think about, like, you know, people think that the U.S. is the most homophobic place ever, but have nothing to say about where they're throwing gays off of buildings in you know, Arab countries or places like that. So it's just let's get a little bit of sense of scope here, people.
Yeah, I long for the day where people can just say whatever they want. And of course, you can deal with the repercussions of saying whatever you want and the back and forth and the debating or whatever, but just say whatever you want. I hate this whole, like, certain words are crossed off and now we have to be uncomfortable around them. And, like, I'm watching, like, white people on TikTok and they're dancing to a rap song, but every time it gets to the N-word, they, like, cover their mouth or, like, do some weird, like, oh, I would never say it, so don't get mad at me. Or, like, when you know, I don't know. I don't know that I know this. But I just have a feeling that if you guys are rocking to a rap song in your car alone, some of y'all are saying the N-word. Some of y'all are saying it. Nobody's there. You know, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, did the tree really fall?
Is the tree racist?
Right. If the N-word is said in the car alone, did you really say the N-word? You know?
It's a philosophical question. Yeah. I feel like that's another poll. We should drop that in the chat.
That's how I feel. And it's the same thing with, like, the Taylor Swift, Maddie Healy thing and all these other, like, debates or whatever. I know that you guys entertain these thoughts when nobody else is around. And I know woke people entertain these thoughts when nobody else is around. I know that you stereotype people, that you have your own prejudices, that you think about the N-word, whether or not you say it when you're listening to rap music, all this different stuff. And if you know that to be true, if you know that in your own conscious being, that your mind is going there and going there naturally and without malicious intent, why not allow that to be accessible to all people who can say words? They're not doing it maliciously. They're not trying to come after you in any way, shape, or form. The fact that she had to tiptoe around that question of, would you say the N-word to literally end world hunger? It's insane. It's insane to me.
Yeah, the chaos of the hierarchy of the left just came and smacked her in the face at that moment, because it's like, oh, hungry people or people of color? I don't know. And right. Rain just, like, blew up.
Right. Nick Tyler sent a super chat. We got to read this. I just said it and I'm still hungry. Nick Tyler, I'm going to have you enter your race in the chat so that we know whether or not to cancel you. So we'll have to figure that out.
Also, he didn't ask you, half of you, for permission before he said it.
Exactly. So canceled. we're done with you. But
also, so far, our poll says, is it racist to rap the N-word out loud if you're in the privacy of your own car? 89% of you say no. 11% of you say yes.
Oh, what was that? 11% of you say yes. Come on. The 11% of you. Come on. Let me change your mind on that. Because it's not. It's literally not. If a black person is rapping the N-word in the song and you sing the song and you say the N-word, you are not a racist. And how anybody could believe that that makes you racist kind of does blow my mind a little bit, because it's nothing negative that's being thrown towards somebody. If anything, it's now, what, a positive, you know, retaking of the word, I guess is what we're claiming that it is. If you think nobody should be able to say the N-word, or if you think white people should be able to shouldn't be able to say the N-word, then nobody should be able to say it. And it should just be a word that's striked from the record. But I don't advise that. I think words should be left alone. And it's interesting because, like, with the whole Hitler salute thing that Maddie did in that video, even though he was using it in a negative light to show Kanye's affiliations, I saw a TikToker who spoke about it and said, you know, that is a hand gesture that is banned in Germany, and it doesn't matter what intent you used it, you did it with. It doesn't matter the context of the situation in which you did the gesture. Because it's been banned or deemed to be banned, nobody should be able to use it. And, you know, people will clip this or whatever and say that I'm endorsing a Hitler hand signal or whatever. No, I'm just saying that people should be able to use their bodies and their mouths and their minds freely. And if they use that with malicious intent, then you have every right to call them out on it, to push back on it, to give them repercussions for doing that. I mean, verbally, hopefully not anything like physical or harmful to the person. But you have every right to do that. But they should have every right to do whatever it is they want to do with their body. Which doesn't make sense to me that you can ban gestures and words. It simply doesn't. And if you are pro-freedom, everybody should have the freedom to do what they want with their bodies. Now, here...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
I was going to say, it's tantamount to suppressing or, you know, it, making illegal free speech. And that's why you want to have a society in which people say something and then they get pushback for saying something if it's deemed to be morally reprehensible, if it's deemed to be wrong or racist or whatever. You can address it and confront it. If you just make it illegal to even have the gesture, you're not defeating racism or defeating that idea. You're just pushing it underground where it'll fester. So, you know, the effort to ban free speech just never works, and you're always better off confronting things. It's like you turn on the lights and the roaches scatter.
Yeah, I mean, have y'all ever been on 4chan before? Have you ever seen the sort of stuff that is being said on those message boards? And it's largely because you made a space where that was not, you were not able to say these things on the internet. So they're not getting actively combated by normal people. So then these people like find small corners of the internet where they can actually have these conversations, and then they radicalize each other because they're in an echo chamber of people who believe the same things and have been stopped from being able to share that comment on the internet, which is why a lot of people got mad at Just Pearly Things, right, for having Nick Fuentes on the show. And I personally am like, yeah, he said some stupid stuff that should have been combated and, you know, something should have been said there. But you should still have the conversation with people who believe ludicrous stuff because it brings light to some of the stupid things that they think. And then you can actively right there work on, you know, at least letting your audience know that maybe what he's saying is not the most valid opinion to have, and combat some of the ideas. Speaking of combating ideas, here's this video of Lila Rose, who recently went on the Whatever podcast. I swear we started a trend here of conservative, you know, people going on this Whatever podcast. And even though I got the worst, the shortest stick in the draw here, here's Lila Rose going up against, I guess he seems to be maybe a red pill-ish type of guy, about his relationship with women.
Can I ask you one more question?
Fire away, honey.
Okay. if you have only one place in your heart for one woman, or you want to have one woman in your heart, I think you said, why don't you just commit to one and choose to be faithful to her?
I'm just not wired that way. I spent my whole 20s trying to fix myself. Thought
something
was wrong.
You're a man of self-control. You work out, you do business.
Yeah.
You can possess your own power and do
not,
direct
just,
it the way you want to direct it.
It's not how I am. It's not how I am.
I've you think tried. That might be a limited mindset?
I think it's none of your business, but I don't want you to think I'm triggered by you. I'm not. Okay. I saw somebody say that, and I think that's interesting. I think you're annoying, but I'm not triggered. You know what I'm saying? No, you are. You're annoying in like this goody two-shoes type way, and that's fine. I'm going to live my life on my terms, unapologetically, like truly. So you can ask me this 85 different ways. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I'm going to walk out of here the same man.
Can I?
Triggered. And that was just the general comment on this video, is that he was triggered. You can simply defend the fact that you want to be with multiple women, and that would have been a normal question to ask. And I'm not really too upset at where he stands on the issue. It's just so often you have these people who are like telling you how to live your life this way or what to do that way, and like he says he wants one woman in his heart forever or whatever, and then is going and sleeping around with multiple women. So I mean, it's just interesting. And I expected maybe that Lila was going to get more criticism for this, but she's actually being championed for having said what she said and standing up in this video and saying, you know, you offer men, you know, messages of self-control in every other arena, but you can't manage to muster self-control when it comes to this one. Why is that? And then he said he didn't get triggered as he got triggered. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and she nailed it. It's interesting in his response, he said, I'm going to live life on my terms. But is it really on your terms if by your own admission, you're being drugged by the foot through life by your uncontrollable lust? And you're sitting there preaching about being an alpha male means having self-discipline in all these areas of life, but you can't get that one under control. It's just, it undercuts your entire persona and your message. And I think that's why he reacted in the way that he did, trying to downplay the fact that he was just caught. She totally put her finger on a pressure point and exposed that he lacks self-control in an area. And look, that's okay. But the right response there is, yeah, you're right about that. I need to get that under control to have my message. Or I don't know, you go in another direction. But like,
right.
don't just like try to deflect in that way was pretty sad.
Yeah, say I tried throughout my 20s and it just didn't work.
And that's another thing she said. Isn't that a limiting mindset?
Yeah.
He's like, he said, this is just how I am. And I notice this sometimes talking with people is when you confront someone on, you know, an issue that they have or like something that seems to be a character defect or whatever, they'll retreat to this. That's just how I am. And we can do this to ourselves too. And you're confronted with something, you can just say, well, that's just my personality. That's just how I am. But that's a limiting mindset. And be very careful on what you say is an essential part of my identity, of my personality that's immutable. Because if you believe that, then that will be your reality. But mm-hmm. if you say, you know, okay, I have certain things in my past that caused me to behave a certain way, have certain proclivities, whatever, I have acted like this in the past, that doesn't necessarily mean that has to be how you respond to those situations and to things every single time for the rest of your life. And when you embrace that self-belief about yourself that, hey, I just can't overcome this, or I can't not respond in this certain way to people, that is a limiting mindset. And you're just limiting your ability to live freely and live life instead of being drugged by the foot through it like this guy was.
Yeah. And it's exactly what you said. It's not necessarily about that is like the decision that he's made, and not that is inherently problematic. It's that he packages himself as somebody who is, you know, a beacon of self-control and is encouraging self-control, and maybe is lacking a little bit of consistency. And you can just admit that that's an inconsistency in your in the way that you present yourself, and that is totally okay. But it's just so interesting to see how quickly the tensing goes, and like people can speak so confidently until they get checked on something, which happens to everybody. Just I want to make that clear. It does happen to everybody, but that was an interesting moment. Good job, Lila. Good job, Lila, because sometimes these like alpha male podcasters are, you know, saying that they promote traditional lives and all this stuff, and they're not at all leading traditional lives. They're just like, they're just saying things. They're just saying the approved narrative. Anyways.
But they're confident and the editing's always great. So
yeah, that's right. If you edit anything, it'll do just fine. We're going to get into super chats today.
And alrighty.
Read those.
Getting us kicked off. We've got Ivan Jeta given some great British pounds. Thank you for watching from the UK. Hi, Portuguese here. Oh, muito obrigado. Is it just me or American leftists can only understand the literal meaning of things and fail to understand innuendo or sarcasm?
I think they understand it. They just ignore it. And that's the tragic part of things. And that's what's going to get everybody in trouble. Like if you're only going to be able to say a short list of things by the time this fully, you know, reaches its peak, because there is no acceptance of nuance, intent, context, anything of that nature. You just said a horrible thing, therefore you are a horrible person. It is so black and white.
Alex Santea says, hey there, game. It was my sister's graduation yesterday, and she will be going to Lee University in Tennessee. Can I get a big congrats and a small piece of advice? Thanks.
Ooh, a small piece of advice. There we go. Woo! Congratulations. What is my piece of advice? Oh my gosh. Ooh, have an open mind. Just explore things. There's going to be so many different ideas and things presented to you when you're in university, and just don't waste those experiences and truly, you know, evaluate everything and just, you know, make friends, have fun, have experiences. You're in your probably like late teens, early 20s. It's the time to really explore and find out who you are.
I actually know Lee University is a Christian university. I almost went there once upon a time. So yeah, shout out to Lee, I guess. That's in Cleveland, Tennessee, I think. And welcome to the state, by the way. That's going to be dope.
Yeah.
And as far as advice, this is probably really bad advice, but the college student in me, something it took me a while to learn was figure out if you want a straight A's, then okay, you're going to have to work really hard for it. But that first test, get through in the early part of the semester, get through the first, you know, iteration of the lesson plans and everything, figure out, get to that first test and figure out the difficulty level. Then you can determine, okay, what's it going to take for me to get the A in this class? And then if you decide, okay, it's going to take way too much effort for me to get the A, go ahead and take the B and do like 60% less work and still get the same result. So anyways, it's like an efficiency hack. I got like 75% A's in college, so I'm no bum, but anyway, that's my life hack. Hey, college advice.
Work smart, probably not really hard.
Yeah, work smart, not hard. C's get degrees, as they say. No, I'm just kidding. I was a good student. I had a good GPA.
Sure.
Scott, do you have anything to add there, or didn't want to skip over you?
Yeah,
you went to Yale.
Going last is always the most difficult here, but I would just say, you mentioned it last live that we went on, but you've also mentioned it before, but the Socratic method, utilize that. Learn from it yourself, because your professors will most likely use it on you. Mm-hmm. And it's a way in which it gets you thinking about your own ideas or your own preconceived notions about certain things, topics, situations, philosophies out there in the world. And I would just encourage you to dive into it, lean into it, and also utilize it yourself. For those people who think differently from you, try and understand why they think they do. But at the same time, you posing the questions that you will pose will get them thinking at the same time. Yep. So it's a good way to just keep people thinking and making sure that there's not a mental gridlock at the university. So good luck.
Push the boundaries.
That was much better than mine.
That was much better than mine, too. That's why he went
Scott
to Yale.
Us out there. Yeah, that's why he went to Yale, and I went to LSU. We have the best baseball team this year, though. So. Dorothy Manley says, hashtag Swifties for Amala, and Taylor and Scott, of course.
Yeah, guys, I love that. We got some Taylor Swift fans. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan. I do love her old music. Like, 15 was a really great album, but I don't listen to any of her newer stuff for the most part. I'm sorry, guys. Don't come after
magic.
Me. I know you have
tragic.
Enough to build an
the
entire army.
Just dropped by 60%
of
these.
Yeah, right.
Ram Tiger Falcon says, okay, so was your no face tattoo because NF, like tofu, takes on the properties of what it's paired with? Like your expressed past was your true face discovered once you rejected the old false one.
Whoa, I'm very confused. My no face tattoo? Is that
you
what
have
it says?
A no-face tattoo?
I don't have a no face tattoo, but are you referring to the no face from Spirited Away?
Probably.
I don't have a no face tattoo.
Is that
no face like tofu takes on the properties of what it's paired with?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so sorry. I wish I could answer your question, but I don't have a no face tattoo.
So your
although
true
no face,
face
is
was
back
discovered
here.
When you rejected the false one.
I've always had my true face.
Wait, do you want to point?
We're trying
no face
to figure
again
this
for
out.
The people.
Yeah.
It
seems really profound.
No face is back there. He's at the top right corner. If you see the guy with the little white mask on that, I don't know if you can see that closely.
Yeah, yeah, you can see it. It's like above that little school bus thing.
Yeah, right under Kiki.
Yeah, Kiki, the school bus thing, Kiki. Yeah,
right under Kiki, and I think Cat Bus. Oh yeah, above Cat Bus, below Kiki.
Ah, there we go.
I know you guys are all going to understand what I just said. So. Hi, Miyazaki all fans, right. Will.
Well, we tried on that one. Thank you, Ram. Chloe Bryan says, finally caught alive. Love your content. Hope you have a great Monday.
Thank you, Chloe. Appreciate you.
Diva Dawn, a regular here, Diva. Says, hey, Amala, took me forever to get back. Happy to see you all. I was going to mention what Megyn Kelly said, and you beat me to it. Happy Monday.
Hey, I know. Where you been, girl? We haven't seen you in a while. We need some consistency. We'll see.
Alex Centeus again says, I missed Wednesday's video. You should totally debate Pearl after watching that. You seemed to be more open about learning about Red Pill And by the way, I don't agree with the open polygamy aspect, just improvement.
Okay, this is so funny because we were like totally on board with having Pearl on the show, but she seemed to get very mad at the end of the stream. She like left comments down below. I forget what her comments were. Hold on. I screenshotted them at some point. Which you guys
something
can
about like
see
at
them.
Least I didn't come from a broken family.
Yeah, she said something like at least I didn't come from a broken family at the bottom of the show, and I was like, first of all, we weren't even talking about that. Which I don't know if it was directed towards me, although it could have been. Yeah. I mean, you just aim at any like any person right now. They probably did come from a broken family, but she commented that down below, and then she came back and like I don't know an hour into the show and was like, you guys are still talking about me. Get a life. As if we don't do our shows on a topic-by-topic basis.
And so, we were in super chats for like 45 minutes at that point and not talking about her. But
right. So she got very triggered by the end of the show, even though I feel like we were quite charitable towards her takes. So that might not happen. Sorry.
Yeah, and the date she proposed, I think both of us are actually out of state on vacation.
Yeah, I think it's a
weekend.
I'm
out of state and you're on vacation that yeah. day. So. Anyways, who knows?
Neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. Ram again says... Also, the orange skin tone question had to do with brown. This was on the last show, I remember. Had to do with brown not being on the color spectrum. Brown is a variable of orange with a base color, red, we share.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there
my
you
gosh,
go.
AP art. I took that in high school and it failed me because I did not know that. Very interesting. And we did take color theory.
Yeah, I don't know anything about color wheel and all that stuff. Steve Sanchez says, I would say the N-word for a double-double.
Is that so funny? You'd get canceled. You'd get canceled for saying that. You say that out in public, canceled. It's no. unbelievable. And that's funny.
Yeah, that sounds
I'm
like
allowed
a South
to say
Park
it's
episode
funny.
Or something.
I know. It's so crazy that, like, we've gone like, oh, South Park's the only one who can say stuff like this. And that's not true. It's not right. Anybody should be able to say the stuff that is said in South Park. And people still love it. You know, millions of people watch South Park every week when it comes out. And millions of people like offensive TikToks and clips from old comedy shows and all this stuff. So where are those people? And why are they not defending, you know, people who want free language? Sorry.
Good questions. Yeah.
Passionate
about
this. I
need you to calm down, please.
I'm passionate about being able to stereotype people.
Yeah. Oh, and Snowgrove says, Amala, I need to know your favorite 1975 songs. Mine are Paris and Me and You and Together Song.
Oh,
thank
I don't
you for addressing
know.
The madness.
I'm so sorry, but those are I don't know what my favorite is. Those are two fantastic songs, by the way. I'll have to think on that. Most recently, what I've been listening to on the new album is, of course, Looking for Somebody to Love and the 1975, the opening song of that album. I'll say the opening song of that album is my favorite at the moment, but it changes all the time. I like circulate through their albums all day.
But not the there Greta one.
But not the Greta song. The Greta, Greta song is my least favorite song, and
How
every time I
you.
Hear her voice, yeah, just it's grating. It's grating. All of a sudden, I hear this annoying voice. Oh my gosh.
All right. Marvin Rose says, I think Charlize went too deep as Mr. F. To quote the great RDJ, you never go full retard.
Oh,
can I say
yeah.
that on
yeah.
the show?
You can't say that. No, you can say that. Sorry.
That's hilarious because okay. me and my wife are actually rewatching Arrested Development and I get that reference. Mr. F, she played a character that was mentally handicapped female, but they were confused because she was infiltrating the family business and like finding out all these secrets. So
oh,
just,
that, Charlize Theron played that.
Yeah, she was in that show.
Wow. What a change of tune. Good for her.
I'm glad Scott was here to interpret that for us.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Nicodemus says, talking about humor, this quote-unquote still documentary on Michael J. Fox portrays his humorous resilience with Parkinson's since 29. Hard life-defying pity. Lesson for self-proclaimed thought police. Great topic.
I haven't seen that. I'll have to check it out. I have seen interview clips of him, and he does seem like just a really nice... very bright natured guy, even though he seems to be struggling at the moment.
Yeah, a lot of times people who've been through some really horrible stuff have a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. Ashley West, stereotypes exist for a reason. Go watch Gabriel Iglesias giving a racist gift basket.
Fluffy! I used to watch his, I thought he was the funniest comedian when I was like 12. I really did. Like, do you guys know Gabriel Iglesias?
I think so.
It's like a big chubby Hispanic guy.
Yeah.
I remember him from the Key and Peele sketch about High on Pot News.
He was on a lot of different stuff. Yeah. He was like super big in his time. And he's still big to this day, but nowhere near as big as he was when I was like 12. But
are you talking about his weight or his influence?
Both. Which he admits it. Self-proclaimed, okay? He literally calls himself Fluffy. Don't come for me. So anyways, I'll have to check that out. I don't remember that specific joke.
All right. Nick Tyler says, I'm Ecuadorian, so I'm canceled.
You're canceled?
Why does that make you canceled?
I don't know.
¿Por qué?
I lost it. ¿Por qué?
He gave the other chat that said, I just said it and I'm still hungry, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, because we asked, I asked what his background was, and he said, I'm Ecuadorian, so I'm canceled. Okay. Got it. That is true. Sorry.
Elizabeth Turner says, it's messed up to put out art that you want people to sing to, then judge for singing the lyrics. I don't feel comfortable singing it, but I'm always upset when people are canceled for singing or lip syncing it.
Yeah, I always talk about Kendrick Lamar when he brought that white girl on stage to rap his song and then got pissed when she said the N-word. Like, how low of a person do you have to be to do that to somebody? And especially a fan of your show who's paid, a fan of your music who is paid to be at your show. It's just un-freaking believable.
Dixon Butts says, when she refers to the people who would be affected, she doesn't mean the hungry black people. She means the Americans who would be offended. That's messed up.
That is true. But again, she doesn't understand. Everybody would be affected, I guess, technically.
World hunger. Diva Dawn says, YouTube is censoring my message. Here's a super chat anyway. I thought
thank
we got
you.
Your message, but...
maybe we didn't get all of them.
Super chat regardless. Yeah, hopefully we're not being censored here. John Gramer says, it was great meeting you at the American Experiment Gala last Friday.
Oh, yes. Nice to meet you. Yeah. I went to, Minnesota, Minneapolis, and did did a speech there, and it went really well. I met so many of you guys. I think there was like 850 people there, and I met so many of you. You guys were so nice and wonderful and had such great stories, and yeah, love you guys.
It's my people representing
that's
up
my
there.
People. Yeah, school you're Minnesotans.
Minnesota nice, it's a thing.
That is true.
Bullwhip Bobby Love says, Taylor, I bet your schedule must be full, but it would be cool to see you link up with Wendigoon on a faith-based podcast. Unapologetic crew, you rock.
Wendigoon.
I'm down. I'll be on. I'll talk about faith-based stuff with whoever. Have them DM me. Actually, may or may not kind of be putting the feelers out with a little side project content stuff with a friend of mine that is in the orbit of faith and culture and stuff. So stay tuned, I guess. But totally love to talk about that stuff. That Delia girl says, Amala, I sent you two items, fan mail. One arrives tomorrow. I hope you like it or show it off.
I want to shout out. I don't know if this is the same person because it's a different name. But her name is, hold on. I hope I say it right. I think it's Saminia. Last name R. I'm not going to say your full last name. But she sent me these cute little earrings that she made me. And I got them this morning and had just the most beautiful story. And I won't go into her personal information because it's a personal information, but was deeply affected and hit by COVID, and I don't mean in a physical, like, medical way. I mean just the lockdowns and all that stuff, and sent me these earrings that she makes and has a little site where she does it called youreworthit.com. So check her out. That was so very sweet that in the midst of your own personal struggles and stuff and working through stuff with your family that you are sending me things that you've made. That is so kind. So shout out to that, and I might put the website in the chat for those of you who want to know.
Awesome. All right. Nick Tyler says, speaking of canceled, Louis C.K. before cancellation has an excellent bit in regards to the N-word that I encourage everyone to watch. When you say the N-word, you are making the other person think it.
Yeah, I've seen that bit that he does there. It's so true. If you just say the N-word, okay, what's in all of your guys' mind right now? Don't put it in the chat. But what's in your mind right now? You're thinking the N-word, and it's just so unbelievable. I'm like, if you're capable of thinking something, you should be capable of saying it out loud if you choose to say it out loud. And again, you'll deal with the repercussions of the people who are in front of you and how they feel about the things that you've said. But all is fair in speech.
I came across a few weeks ago this little HBO sit-down little roundtable with Louis C.K., Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and Ricky Gervais. And it was from like 2007 or 2010, somewhere around there. And they were like letting the N-word fly. Not Jerry. He refused. But Louis C.K. was like, had a whole conversation about it in front of Chris Rock about whether they say it in their comedy and all this stuff. And it was interesting because at least it was just like such a different time, because I'm sure none of them would be caught dead uttering it these days, besides Chris Rock, of course.
Right.
But it was just amazing that, hey, these same people that we still see out in the culture who would never say that were like in a totally different place, you know, 7-8 years ago. And Jerry's been consistent, I guess, the whole way through. So props to him. Diva Dawn says, I watched the Leticia Stauch trial from beginning to end. I was all caught up in it. Now she got her life without parole and she deserved it.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, me neither.
Stauch back in court on 2-year anniversary of stepson's suspected murder. I'll have to look into that. I don't really follow. I used to watch true crime stuff, and now I'm sort of in this push of I don't want bad stuff to be infecting my brain all the time. Even if I am interested in it, or I do think it's something that's like, oh wow, I can't believe people do that. I really do think what you watch influences what you think. Of course, you're taking that all and it's like storing it in the bank. So I try not to watch any more true crime stuff.
That's probably a healthy decision.
Yeah.
Everything in balance, I guess. I thought you were going to say because you're in LA and there's crazy crime around you and it doesn't, you don't want to feed that at all.
No. I should tell everybody the Ring Rat story. The heck?
I thought you were going to. I didn't want to bring it up. But
okay,
yeah,
I'll tell you guys the story. So my boyfriend and I got a Ring camera for our apartment. We have the Ring camera up or whatever. Nothing's ever happened at our apartment. We just got the Ring camera just in case. We live in LA. Who knows what's going to happen? One night, my next door neighbors have a party and it goes pretty late. We're talking 1-2 in the morning or whatever. My boyfriend leaves the apartment to go outside at like 1 in the morning, comes back inside and he's like, it's so weird what was just on our front doorstep. And I was like, what? He's like, I stepped on a dead rat on our front doorstep. And I was like, what do you mean a dead rat on the front doorstep? How did it get there? Did a rat just like come and die right in front of our door? He's like, I have no idea. He of course picks up the mat and gets rid of the rat that's at our doorstep. And I go, you know what? Let's check the Ring camera. And mind you, we just set this up 3 days ago. Nothing weird has ever happened at our apartment. And right after setting up this Ring camera, we get a dead rat on our front doorstep. So I turn it on and there's people going in and out of my neighbor's party, and these three guys walk out, and the one in the middle of the three goes past our front door, sort of like ducks down and throws something on our front doorstep, presumably a dead rat, and then walks away casually. And I have so many questions. Where did the rat come from? Did this man go to the party with a dead rat in his pocket? Did he find a dead rat at my neighbor's apartment and then pick it up with his hands and then put it on our front door? Were they doing some kind of ritual at my neighbor's apartment and leaving a dead rat omen at my front door? I have no idea. And I have not yet seen my neighbors to question them about this rat throwing guy that they invited over to their party. But I do have the video evidence of him doing it. So weird.
You might want to unplug that Ring camera before you see some crazier things going on out there.
I don't know. I'm like, I'd rather see it than not see it. I'd rather know. I'd rather know that this stuff is going down.
It's like a bad version of the Pied Piper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
But with stuff like that, yeah, you don't need to be watching any true crime because it's happening at your doorstep.
Exactly. What the hell?
Dixon Butts said he got a lot of D's in college. Moving on. AW says, caught one of Pearl's live streams and asked her about the recent ABA and Preach video calling her out. And when she got to my super chat to read, she said I deleted it. When I did not delete it, her true colors are showing.
Oh, I haven't watched that ABA and Preach video, but I have heard about it, that they did this whole like talk about Pearl and reacting to her stuff, but I haven't seen it. But it did get a bunch of views. I don't know. I don't really care about all this stuff enough to watch.
Yeah. Indivian says, thank you for calling out the player. Promiscuity is just as bad for men as for women, but a lot of the so-called conservative male leaders ignore that.
Yeah, I mean, it is something to definitely be talked about, especially if you're promoting a traditional lifestyle. Maybe it's worth being traditional in that sense.
100%. Be man enough to be faithful to your girl. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. Mutant Dog says, what are your opinions on people saying pit bulls are dangerous?
Stereotypes exist for a reason. I mean, I'm not going to go out and say all pit bulls are. I know people are like sensitive about that or whatever, but I think if you hear a like a story or a headline of like little girl mauled by a dog and you like, I wonder what dog it is. It's normally a pit bull, I would say. Do you guys have any thoughts on the matter?
I mean, here's where my mind's going. I just started reading Vision of the Anointed by Tom Sowell, which mm-hmm. is insane, blowing my mind right now. I can't believe I haven't read mm-hmm. it before. But he starts it off framing the whole conversation about like, hey, we implement these policies and then we never go back and look at data to see whether they are actually doing what they promise to do or whether they're making things worse. So in a conversation like this about pit bulls, it's like, let's look at the data. Let's look at the instances of deaths or bodily injury of humans by dogs, and then we can look at the data and see what type of breed is responsible for those. And all that is pretty straightforward. And so we can all have opinions on knowing anecdotally, oh, I have this sweet one or whatever. But if it all is always boils down back to one specific breed, I mean, it's kind of hard to dispassionately look at the evidence and the data and say that there's an issue here and we need to think about seriously how we're going to mitigate against that.
Yeah, I know like what Matt Walsh took a really strong stance against like pit bulls or something and said maybe I think like people shouldn't be able to have them or something like that.
I didn't see that one.
It was something a while ago.
Yeah, Ali Stuckey's really strong on it too.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that anecdotally, the majority of the stories that I hear, typically the pit bull's a culprit. But it could also be like, you know, confirmation bias. And, you know, those are the stories that are more likely to get reported on because people have that view of that specific dog. But I don't know. Just from what I've experienced, they don't seem to be the least dangerous of all dog breeds.
Yeah. Okay. And Nick Tyler says, the Preakness Stakes is this Saturday. Only 8 horses. I will reach out Wednesday for your picks. Mage is the new favorite now. Super impressive Derby pick, Scott. Who do you know?
He just knows himself. That's it. He knows himself, and that's how he knew who was going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Scott's going to be our resident Nostradamus for horse racing now, than otherwise. So, Scott, tell us all who to put the money on. Is this going to be a thing now, though? We're going to be horse race betting? Is this like violating our community guidelines? I don't know.
I don't know. I think we're fine.
Gambling stream. Anyway, I appreciate it, Nick. This is fun.
It is fun.
Corey Andrew says, thank you for the awesome content. So refreshing as a half Puerto Rican, half white bi guy who grew up fairly poor in the city. I struggled to understand a lot of the leftist victim mentality.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch it, just watch the contradictions and the hypocrisy just like bubble to the surface, and it's kind of hard to back it. That's exactly what happened to me. You just watch it and you go, yeah, on its face, maybe it sounds right and that sounds moral and it sounds like the good thing to do. But there's so much hypocrisy and contradictions and like fighting and canceling and all this stuff. It's just hard to back. Yeah.
Yeah. Gordon Murray says, just got into watching your content and other similar content. Good to see people speaking out for sanity in these crazy times.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Sup, my dude. Another regular. How's it going? Says, I can't tell you what my favorite 1975 song is as I immediately lower the volume and hit the mute button every time they start playing.
Always with the 1975 hate when we bring them up on this show. I'm okay. Guess what, guys? I'm not sensitive. You can't offend me. It's okay if you hate my favorite band. I'll allow it.
There you go. Jared's Journey says, Boosie said he don't mind if someone raps his lyrics and drops the N-bomb.
Hey, there you go. I don't know anything else about that man, but at least that opinion I will
Isn't he like the OG or New Orleans rapper? Like, I remember everyone was big high on Lil Boosie when I lived in Louisiana.
Is Lil Boosie the same as Boosie, though?
You know? I don't know.
You know? You never know. Well, here he is. Yeah. Where is he from? Better known by his stage name, Boosie Badass. Boosie.
Okay. So maybe that
I'm an American rapper.
That. If y'all know who Lil Boosie is in the chat, give me know so I don't feel insane.
But yeah, I don't know.
Good to know we have the N-word pass from Amala and him, at least rapping. Luma says, it's interesting to see how she adopts the personalities of her boyfriends while she dates them. It'll be entertaining to watch what she's like in this new phase, sending love from Nicaragua.
Some might say in this new era. The Swifties will understand that joke. She's on the Eras tour right now.
Well done. Well
played. Just crickets from Taylor up there.
That was a test. I failed.
We need a crickets button. We need a crickets button. I don't really follow Taylor Swift all that much, to be honest. So I don't know about her, you know, adopting personalities and shifting and changing. But I imagine there's an element of that in everybody's relationships where you start to adopt certain characteristics of the person that you're with. So, you know, maybe she'll start imitating people's accents and get canceled. Never know.
Do you imagine Taylor Swift getting canceled? That would be
never. It
insane.
Would never, ever, ever happen. I don't know what she'd have to do to do that.
I don't know.
Quite a bit.
I mean, J.K. Rowling got canceled. That's someone.
Yeah,
similar,
but she's still not Taylor Swift here. I don't know. A lot of people didn't know J.K. Rowling enough to like have something to defend. Like, she's not out in the public eye, like showing her life to the world that much. But Taylor Swift is like her whole life has been within the public eye. So I don't know. You'd have to do something pretty effed up.
Yeah. I mean, it's not likely.
No.
I'm rooting for it though, clearly. Jared's journey. Amala debating pearly things. So looking forward to that.
I don't know if she came after my family. I'm like, what the hell? When I read that comment.
Escalated quickly.
Like, what the hell? What? Maybe the chat was not particularly nice to her, and she was just feeling a little bit defensive about what she was seeing in the chat. And maybe it wasn't even directed towards me. But
I don't know.
Don't come at me sideways, girl.
May 987 says, and N-word I think of first is nougati, a chocolate hazelnut spread we have here in Norway.
Oh my gosh, when you said it, I was like, what did they just make Taylor say?
Is that the same as Nutella?
It must be. Like, I mean, yeah. I obviously think of Nutella with a chocolate hazelnut.
I don't know how
spread,
to spell it. Oh, this is how you spell it. It is similar.
N-U-G-A-T-T-I.
Yeah. It's hazelnuts and nougat.
Huh.
There you go.
Tragic. I didn't get to try that when I was in Norway
than
a year ago.
Gotta go back.
I have to go back now. Bjork Oladottir says, love from the Faroe Islands. You guys are amazing. Keep up the good work.
The Faroe Islands. What is that?
Oh, that's
so cool.
That's
the like
place I really want to go to in life.
I don't know how to spell. How do you spell it?
F-A-R-O-E.
Oh, F-A-R-O-E. Islands. Okay,
I'm like listening
look at
to a Viking history podcast right now.
Oh, damn.
And watching The Last Kingdom, and I'm like so obsessed with everything Viking, Scandinavian. So that's super cool that people are listening from
Scandinavia. That is gorgeous. Wow. Yeah. Very nice. Well, lucky you.
Super, super cool. Nick Tyler, no such thing as bad dogs, only bad owners.
Yeah. I'm inclined to believe that to a certain extent, although I do think there's many instances of like good owners raising their dog and then something just goes wrong and the animal instincts kick in. Just gotta be careful.
Yeah, and it's like, is it a bad dog or is it just a dog that's acting consistently with animal nature?
Right.
You don't
that's
really
the thing.
Know how to control that?
Domestication is really the question.
Anyways, I think that was our last one.
Okay.
Someone said it's pronounced Pharaoh, not Pharaoh. So my bad.
It's pronounced Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Pharaoh, we have a video about Queen Cleopatra that's going to come out later this week. I had to go ahead and plug that. I think we're going to put that out Thursday. And what's tomorrow's video? What did we film?
Miller Lite.
They got a new ad. Maybe not new. It's about a month old, but it's becoming trending right now. And people are having a lot to comment about it because it has some feminist leanings. I also wanted to ask you guys if we can quickly put a poll in the chat. Should I do a video on Queen Charlotte? I did watch that entire show. And I got to be honest, you know, despite the identity politics and all that stuff, I cried. The show was very cute. They had a very good romance in it. I did fall for some of the characters there, but I could still talk about the identity politics part of it if you guys would like. Let me know if you guys want a video on Queen Charlotte or if that's even something that you guys are watching. I know it's one of the top 10 Netflix shows now.
It's a spinoff of
The Bridgerton story. Yeah. So it's a Bridgerton story focused around Queen Charlotte, who is depicted by a black actress. And where it's different from Queen Cleopatra is that this one is fictional, but there's lots of racial elements throughout the show. But let me know, guys, if you want me to do a video on it.
So far, 81% say they do want it.
Okay, so you guys must be watching it too. Another one from Bjork Oladotier says, please do a collab with Brett Cooper soon. That would be amazing. We can't end the show without a Brett Cooper super chat. I love it. At some point, hopefully we'll get it done.
What are the lyrics to the opening video, Amala?
What are the lyrics? You guys are always speculating about the intro video. Maybe we should make a real intro video, intro song at some point. Maybe I'll rent out some studio time in LA once, and we'll do an actual intro song one of these days. Guys, that's our show. Thank you so much for watching. You got to hear me rant about Maddie Healy and Taylor Swift, also Charlize Theron and Megyn Kelly going back and forth. Well, not really back and forth. Just saying something and then Megyn Kelly retorting back. Plus, we talked about whether or not you'd say the N-word to End World Hunger. And I think we almost unanimously agreed that you would say the N-word to End World Hunger. Plus, we reacted to Lila Rose on the Whatever podcast, bringing a trad man, I guess, or a self-control guru to task over his personal beliefs in regard to women. Guys, comment down below any of thoughts you had on any of the stories that we covered today. As always, we encourage healthy debate in the comments down below, so duke it out respectfully. And like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we post videos for you every single day. Tomorrow is going to be, is Miller Lite the new Bud Light? And that's what we'll be talking about. Can't wait for you guys to see it. And I'll be back tomorrow. Bye.